Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Alcoholics Anonymous is supposed to be a safe place where people struggling with addiction can get sober. My next guest is an author and journalist who has written an article in ProPublica about the dangers of sending violent criminals to mandatory Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, and a new book called Her Best Kept Secret, How Women Drink and How They Can Regain Control. She is Gabrielle Glaser and joins us in our studio now. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So your article on ProPublica told the story of a woman who met an ex-con at an AA meeting who allegedly murdered her, and you mentioned several other examples of women who've been preyed upon at AA meetings. How big of a problem is this?
Well, about 1 in 10 of every member of Alcoholics Anonymous has been mandated there by the courts or probation officers, and I think it's a bigger problem than people are aware of. That a lot of these folks are dangerous.
What happened in the case that you reported on briefly?
The case of Carla Brada Mendez was that she went into AA she went into rehab. She was bused to meetings at a sober living retreat for men only, and she met there a guy named Eric Allen Earl, who had been ordered into AA at least four times, had dozens of assaults, had spent several years in prison, six restraining orders against him, and no prospects for a job. So she looked pretty good, and they fell in love, she fell in love with him, and he murdered her.
Are you saying that it's illegitimate? I mean, it's one thing if it was, he followed her out of an AA meeting and raped and murdered her. You said they fell in love. So this is a relationship that began among two AA members?
Yes, indeed. But she was unaware. She was a newcomer to the program and was unaware of the traditions that AA has. Actually, this is not a tradition. It's a suggestion that you don't step into a relationship, a romantic relationship, in the first year of sobriety. He, as an old timer, someone who had been in the program for more than 20 years, in and out of the program for more than 20 years, should have been aware of that. And somebody should have warned her that, hey, not everybody here has your best interest at heart.
Listeners, any reaction to this? Any related experiences to share? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Or any questions for Gabrielle Glaser, author of Her Best Kept Secret, How Women Drink and How They Can Regain Control, and this related article on ProPublica. I learned from you that the 13th step is this slang in AA for men, mostly hitting on newcomers, 12-step program. The 13th step is men hitting on newcomers, usually women, and it's implied that women are vulnerable and easy to seduce in these situations, which is, of course, disturbing. Is this sort of thing accepted in AA circles?
I would say it's certainly tolerated. It's been going on since the beginning of time, since the beginning of AA itself. I at one point spoke to, as I was doing research for my book, I actually spoke to a trustee who in 2007 wrote a 7-page letter. What I'm saying is that he was a member of the board of AA himself. He wrote a 7-page letter to his colleagues on the board saying, this is a terrible problem and we need to find a way to change it. It took the General Service Board 2 years to write back. They wrote a 1-page letter saying, well, our organization doesn't have a hierarchy. And really, until the members say that this is a big problem that needs to be fixed, we can't do anything about it.
Do you think portrayals of Alcoholics Anonymous meetings in popular culture, movies and TV shows, have romanticized the notion that it's a good place to find a date or a relationship?
I don't know if I would say that. I would certainly say that they've romanticized how the program works and that people there are going to be safe people who can help you in your struggle to stop drinking.
Let's take a phone call. Here is Paul in Manhattan. Paul, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm sober 34 years in AA in Manhattan. And this is one of the most ludicrous attempts. I have plenty of issues with AA that I'm not too happy about, but saying it's a dangerous place to go is absolutely crazy. The fact that this woman went to a men's-only rehab may speak to it, but I have never heard of anyone being attacked or killed because of someone they met in AA. You can meet someone in a bar, for that matter.
Absolutely, Paul, you can meet somebody in a bar, but you don't go to a bar for support in your stopping drinking. And, in fact, in my book, I detail three murders and a case of a rapist in Montana who was on probation for sexual offenses against a 12-year-old who, as a condition of parole, was told to attend AA meetings and stay away from women. I was able to read his diary in which he said that he specifically sought women in early sobriety because they were vulnerable targets for his sexual desires. And furthermore, there are clinically peer-reviewed journal studies that have shown 13th stepping is a fact. It is a fact for the majority of women who attend AA. That may not be your experience, but it's certainly what I found.
I think Rachel in Piedmont, in fact, I should acknowledge that a number of callers who've had positive experience with AA, as they tell our screeners, are upset with you right now for what they see as painting with a broad brush. But let's hear from one more. Rachel in Piedmont, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Okay.
I'm a social worker, and I'm usually very down on systems and blaming systems for things happening to people. So and I feel very strongly that this woman, it's her job to assess the relationship. Is this a good person? Is this a healthy relationship? I think it's very dangerous to blame and point the finger at AA. In fact, I think it could even turn people away from AA, who are in that particular population. They're very hesitant to go. So I do feel it's unfair and dangerous to do this.
Gabrielle?
I point out in my book and in my research that there are many other treatment options for certainly people who are looking for a way to stop drinking. In this country, we have found or we have been told that AA is the best way, that it's the gold standard. And in fact, it was a method developed by two white men in the 1930s when our knowledge of neurology was at a very, very, very early point. We have many other treatments. There are drugs. There is cognitive behavioral therapy. And I do want to point out that the drug that is used most successfully in Europe, in other industrialized countries, is available in generic form, and nobody is making significant amounts of money off.
So are you recommending that there are particular things that AA could do to prevent dangerous situations like this? Is it more, I don't know if the people who are remanded there by the court have their privacy protected regarding that fact, or gender separated meetings, or are there things that you suggest that AA could do to increase the safety?
Yes, I do. I think, first of all, AA does have gender separation, gender separated meetings, but in most major metropolitan areas, about 6% of the meetings are for women only. So really, if you're really trying to get sober, if you want to try to use this method, your chances are you're going to end up in a co-ed meeting. I do believe that AA could inform people that not everyone is looking out for them. And in Britain and in Australia, AA has done that. They've issued behavioral guidelines that really urge people to call the police if something is going awry, and they just let it be known that someone's watching them.
Does that damage the group process that's supposed to help the individual because they feel supported by the other members of an AA group?
I think it does. And I think to go into a place hoping that these people are going to help support you in your journey is exceptionally, it's even more damaging for some of the women that I talked to. And certainly it was damaging for Carla Brada Mendez. And I'd like to point out that in her case, she didn't have a choice of where to go. She was bused there by her rehab facility in Southern California.
Jane in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I'm also a participant in AA. I've been sober over 5 years and have been in and out of different kinds of treatment centers and therapeutic communities for close to 30 years. I just think that if you, for most addicts, I mean, I can't speak to this particular Carla woman, but most addicts are not especially naive. And if you give, if you're in two or three meetings, even your first two or three meetings, you get a general sense that not everybody has your best interest at heart. If you listen to a few of the stories, you yourself have to be responsible for wanting to put your sobriety first. Most treatment centers, even the most basic 30-day programs, will inform a newcomer that, you know, in their first year, it's not especially wise to get into relationships. But
and Jane, let me ask you, you told our screener that you've had disastrous relationships stemming from AA. So do you have personal experience that in a way backs up the warnings that Gabrielle is giving us?
Well, I do, but I've had disastrous relationships outside of AA as well. I mean, I don't think that the kind of man that this woman was attracted to, I would suspect, and again, I can't say for sure, but I would suspect that if you looked into her relationship history in general, it probably was not especially healthy, like most addicts.
We're talking about a woman who was murdered here, and I think I'm hearing a lot of blaming of the victim. She was struggling to get sober. She met this guy who made a beeline for her and found her desirable physically, sexually, and certainly financially. And she was unaware of his background. She was wholly unaware of his violent, violent past. And I really don't understand why this, you know, where this talk of, well, it you know, she had a part in it is coming from.
We have a minute left, about 45 seconds, really. Is there a moral of the story that goes to that there should be a different set of rehab practices that are seen as the gold standard rather than AA?
Absolutely. Our federal government spent $30 million on a study that found that the drug naltrexone, again available in generic form, combined with cognitive behavioral therapy, is by far the most effective treatment for alcohol problems.
Drugs. A lot of people would say the last thing you want to do is get on drugs unless you have to.
But you can't become addicted to naltrexone.
Gabrielle Glazer wrote this article that we've been discussing on ProPublica. She is also the author of the new book, Her Best Kept Secret, How Women Drink and How They Can Regain Control. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.